We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
My friends, can one be a Christian without being born again? Can one be a child of God without being born again? Is one a Christian who has been born again? We continue the discussion of born-again Christians. What is the new birth? Objection has been offered to the words of Christ stating that Jesus meant the natural birth when he said born of water. This is without biblical or human reason. Christ was not talking about the birth of a baby, the natural birth. Every reasonable and mature person knows about the birth of an infant. Surely, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, knew that. He said, how can a man, and observe that he said a man and not a baby, be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Christ emphasized that as a new birth, born again, being born again, is to be born of water and the Spirit. It would be a discredit to Christ to suggest that he meant natural birth when he said, born of water. Jesus said, born again. Again could not refer to the first or natural birth. Christ declared that one must be baptized in water to be born again, John 3:5. The penitent believer is baptized into Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And again, the same apostle declared, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we might also walk in newness of life. The blood of Christ was shed in his death. Therefore, to obtain remission of sins by the blood of Christ, one must be baptized into his death. Without the blood of Christ, we're told that there is no remission of sins. And you will read that in Ephesians 1:7 and Hebrews 9:22. When one is born of water, baptized into Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, declared the apostle in 2 Corinthians 5:17. The new birth, therefore, enables one to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verses 3 through 6. The new life does not begin apart from the new birth, where one is born of water, baptized into Christ. The new birth necessitates a burial in water. When the man of Ethiopia was baptized, born of water, the Bible says, they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Acts 8:37-39. This man was born again, born of water and the Spirit. He was taught the truth, the Word, the seed, the Word of God by Philip. The Spirit directed his soul as he obeyed the word of the Lord. He was baptized in water like Jesus commanded, and he was born of the water. Baptism is a burial. Romans 6:34, the apostle declared, and I repeat, or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried. Now notice carefully. This is what the Bible says. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death. That, like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might also walk in newness of life. In this text, the apostle states that baptism is a burial. We are buried with Christ in baptism and raised to walk the new life. Notice, the new life begins when one is baptized and raised from the burial of water in water, therefore is born of the water. It would be impossible to be born of water and not be buried in water. It is impossible to be born of something, and that of which it is born is smaller than that which was born. Some time ago, it was reported that a very young child, some 12 years of age, gave birth to twin babies. As incredible as this may seem, it happened. But one thing is definitely sure, without question, the mother, though but a child, could not have been smaller than the babies, and the babies to have been born of the mother. It is impossible for one to be born of water with a few drops poured upon his head or sprinkled upon his body. To be born of water, therefore, one must be buried in water, concealed in water, and brought forth from the water. This is a new birth, born again. It is a birth of the Spirit, a spiritual birth. It is the birth of the spirit of man, not the body of man. The natural birth is the birth of the body. Man's carnal body is not born into the kingdom of the Lord. Christ declared, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." John 3:6. The spirit of man dwells in his body until death. A person's body is buried in water in baptism. But it is the soul, the spirit, that is born again. It would be useless to baptize a dead body, a human body in which there was no spirit. This would not be the new birth. Who is to be born again? Obviously, those who need to be born again. Those who need to be born again are they who are separated from God by reason of their sins and transgressions. The Apostle Peter declared that man is begotten, born of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, 1 Peter 1, 22-23, which is evidence that the soul is that which is born again. And that soul is born having obeyed the Word of the Lord, as you read in Acts 2:36-38. Question: are infants born again, baptized in water, into the kingdom of Christ? Positively, no. Infants are not guilty of sins. The infant is free from sin. He cannot believe and repent of sins, therefore cannot be scripturally baptized or be born of the water and the Spirit. Although it is possible for an infant to be immersed in water, that would not constitute the new birth. The soul of the infant is not subject to the new birth, therefore not subject to baptism. An infant would have as much faith as a dead body, therefore one would have as much scripture right to baptize a dead body as an infant. It must not be forgotten that Christ declared that one must be born of water and the Spirit to become a new creature in Christ. One is begotten by the Spirit through the Word, the seed, and is baptized as a penitent believer into Christ Jesus. The Lord declared that he who is subject for baptism is the one who is a believer. He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." The born-again person is one who is begotten, born of the Spirit, and born of water, baptized into Christ, buried with Christ through baptism in water, and raised to walk in newness of life, as Paul declared in Romans 6:34. The birth is exemplified in the conversion, that is the new birth, of the Ethiopian eunuch, recorded in Acts chapter 8, to which reference has already been made. You will observe that he heard the gospel by which he was begotten. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, the Apostle Paul declares that one is begotten through the gospel. And of course, it was Philip, the preacher, who begat the eunuch by the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit through the Word of God, directing his obedience to God. The eunuch was begotten by Philip through the gospel when he preached unto him Jesus. The birth occurred when they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And the Bible says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. That's found in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 39. As a penitent believer, the eunuch was buried, concealed, covered, immersed in water, and was raised, brought forth from the burial in water as a new creature to live the new life, having been born again. Now, a child of God, a Christian, There can be no mistake about that. Let us observe some interesting things about this matter. First, it must be observed that the Spirit by which the eunuch was begotten was with Philip, not with the eunuch who was born again. The eunuch was begotten by the Spirit through the gospel proclaimed by Philip, who began from the very scripture that the eunuch was reading, and the Bible says he preached unto him Jesus. Realizing his need for instruction, that is, teaching, to be directed by the Spirit through the preacher Philip, in order that he might understand, the eunuch requested guidance. He said, "How can I, except someone should guide me?" My friends, don't you know, the eunuch did not receive the message directly from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was there, but was with Philip the preacher, revealing the message of salvation, the terms and the conditions of salvation, what it meant to be born again. That was during the days of direct operation of the Holy Spirit, guiding men in the revelation and proclamation of divine truth before the New Testament was written and confirmed as the Word of God during the days of miraculous works. Beloved, at no time did the Holy Spirit appear to the eunuch, the man to be born again. At no time did the eunuch have a special experience with the Holy Spirit. At no time did he have a special encounter with Jesus. The eunuch was not saved, born again, by seeing a star in August in a Texas graveyard. He was not saved at an instant and at a given moment by the turning on the lights of an automobile in an outdoor theater, doing a highly emotionally charged preacher's persuasion in a high-powered crusade meeting. He was not saved or born again by just believing and laying his hand on the radio. He was not born again by some magical power from God, as he said, "Lord, save me," or "Lord Jesus, come into my heart," nor by saying, "Jesus, Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior." Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? The eunuch did not depend on his subjective feelings and testify, "Lord, I know now that I'm a newborn Christian because I feel it in my soul." Now, the eunuch was a disciple. He was taught the truth, the Word, by Philip, like Jesus commanded in Matthew 28:19, when he said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples," or "teach all nations." Becoming a disciple is essential to becoming a Christian. As a believing disciple, he was baptized, born of water, like Jesus commanded, and he became a child of God. As a disciple, he became a Christian. He became a Christian the same moment he was born again. He was not born again at one time, and then became a Christian at another time. He became a Christian when he was born again. As a disciple, he became a Christian. As a disciple, he learned what the Lord wanted him to do to become a Christian. As a disciple, he obeyed the word of the Lord. It is true of every person today who is born again. No exceptions. Births have no exceptions regarding facts of birth. Ladies and gentlemen, I beg you hear me. Honest and sincerity will never replace nor alter divine truth, the Word of God, which is the seed of the kingdom, without which no one can be born again to become a child of God, to become a Christian. One just as well talk about wheat or corn without seed, or a baby born into this world without parents, without seed, as to talk about being born again without the seed, the Word, the gospel of Christ, by which one is begotten, like the apostle declared in 1 Corinthians 4:15. A person does not become a child of God by chance, by presumption, by subjective experiences. A birth is a fact, based upon certain and absolute conditions. A person is either born again or he is not born again. Notwithstanding the claim that 34% of Americans claim to be born again Christians today, the Bible, the Word of God, the seed by which the birth occurs, is the power and authority, not the Gallup poll, nor subjective feelings of thousands of honest and sincere people. My friends, the difference is personal experiences, personal feelings, subjective testimonies and conclusions versus divine testimony, the authoritative word of God, the seed of the kingdom, about which there is